Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Again, it's a fantastic pleasure to be able to welcome you all here today. It was also a great pleasure to be able to join you last night. It was especially a big pleasure that I could spend the evening with you, and not as we normally do after we have our analyst conferences, that we spend the evening with investment bankers. So it was a much more fun being with you. And as Frank mentioned, just this weekend, it's the last one this year, the last big race coming up. And the key thing about marathon running is you got to do carbohydrate loading. So usually 3 days in advance, you eat as much carbohydrates as possible so you have enough energy to get through. And after last night at the bar, I think I'm good for the carbohydrates now. But it was great to see some old friends, to renew acquaintances with some people, and also meet some new friends. I was particularly impressed to meet one totally new character who I hadn't met before, Frank. I'm not sure if any of you, if you all know Frank. I know Frank usually from meetings where he's a kind of a quiet guy. And there was this guy leading the Congo last night, Frank Rottweiler, and I met a new Frank. I mean, but honestly, Frank, Michael, Jörg, Matthias, and everybody involved in the organization, thanks a lot for putting in all the effort, and thanks for letting out the passion as well. It's great to see this. Thank you very much. So I'm going to start off talking a little bit, just briefly, about the challenges in facing agriculture. And I always do this at the beginning, whenever we're talking about the company strategy, because what we are inevitably faced with, and I think this is the same whether you're a company like Bayer Crop Science, whether you're in a different part of the value chain, whether you're a farmer, whether you're a distributor, there are an awful lot of people out there who think food just kind of happens. Nobody really thinks about where food comes from. It seems to be there, unless you're unfortunate enough to be in a developing part of the world where there might be a severe lack of food. But people in the Western Hemisphere, in the Northern Hemisphere, in the Western world, tend to be pretty well off, and food is not really an issue. And there is an issue that most people, or an awful lot of people, think technology used in the production of food is generally a bad thing. Everything should be as natural as possible. And I think we all have to do a lot more work in explaining to society and to everybody in society the tremendous challenges that we face. And because of these challenges, we need innovation, because otherwise we won't be able to solve all of these challenges. So the first one, I think, is pretty obvious. The problem is people don't feel this. Unless you're in China, and I know we have some guests from China, and I lived there myself for 5 years, there you can feel what a growing population means, like when you're surrounded by masses and masses and masses of people. Population today, 7 billion, growing to 9 billion in 2050. That's 2 billion more people, and they all need to eat. And we know today there's a billion people who don't have enough to eat. And beyond that, there's many more who suffer from malnutrition. So this is going to be a huge challenge in and of itself. But there's a second part to this equation. It's not just that there's more people in the world. Every day, more people coming, more mouths to feed. There is an issue as well, and this is particularly in Asia, but starting as well more and more in Africa, but you see it most in China and in India. Basically, we have what have traditionally been more rurally based populations are moving, large parts of the population are moving into big cities because there's a higher incomes to be earned there. And as they move into the big cities, they change their dietary patterns. They don't have as much time to cook, and they're buying more processed food. But because they're also earning more money, they tend to substitute some of the foods and they start eating more meat. So this change in dietary pattern is really driving, at the end of the day, a lot of agricultural crop production. When you think of the demand for meat in China for and meat, of course, requires then animal protein. So usually it's soybean. You think of what's happening in Brazil, the amount of demand that's being created in China and that is basically being fed from Brazil. These are tremendous trends that are happening, and they are not going to slow down. These trends are underway, and we can talk in the Western world about eating less meat. The reality is there's an awful lot more people out there who want to eat more meat every day, and this is going to increase demand. So in a normal economy, if your demand is increasing, things are not that difficult. Demand is increasing, you just increase supply. But as you all know, agriculture is not a normal industry. We can't just build more factories and ramp up more production. It's not that easy, because basically arable land is limited. And the arable land, because the population is increasing, the arable land per capita is, of course, declining. Now, if you've got less land per capita available and you've got more mouths to feed, then, of course, the only way to do this is if you produce more on the same amount of land. And that requires intensification, and that requires sustainable intensification of agriculture. And this is why innovation is so important. And as if that wouldn't be enough, we also have climate change. And you can debate left and right, there are different opinions on this. Is climate change real? Is it happening? Yes or no? I think we can debate it forever, but I think everybody from your personal experience can say the weather is definitely different than it was when we all grew up as kids. When I grew up as a kid in Ireland, it was wet, it was cold, and I just wanted to emigrate. That's why I ended up here, by the way, in Germany. Now when I go back to Ireland, it's like wonderful. They have real summers, a blue sky, the sun is shining. We didn't have this. It used to snow in Ireland. It doesn't snow anymore. So there are more and more extremes happening. On the one side, basically drought, and take California as an example, and parts of Texas, it's severe drought. And then on the other side, you've got severe flooding, increasing flooding, particularly in large parts of Asia. But basically all over the world, we're getting more extremes. And these extremes are making agriculture simply more difficult, more volatile. And again, we need simply innovation that we can cope with all of this change that is happening. And here, just a 1 degree change, increase in temperature can have a negative impact on yields, for example, in wheat, by up to 10% in developing economies. Just 1 degree temperature change. So these are massive changes, massive challenges that we're facing. There are many, many more, but just these alone show how big the challenges are. So for Bayer Crop Science, what we talk a lot about, and I said this yesterday, and I meant it very honestly, I don't like to talk about numbers. I'm not going to talk about our wonderful sales or our EBITDA or our profitability. And I'm also not going to talk about products per se, but really talk about what do we do. And we look at those problems that I showed on the previous page, and we try to find solutions. And if we do that well, our numbers will be okay. That's our whole mindset. But our company is built around innovation. This is what we do. But innovation in and of itself is not enough. Good products alone is never going to be enough. So we have a big, big emphasis on sustainability. Crucial, crucial topic in agriculture. Bayer has been around for over 150 years. And you don't get to be 150 years old unless you've got a mindset in the company, in the DNA of the company, that is emphasizing sustainability. Really something that you can keep going and going and going, not looking at things on a quarterly basis, but really looking for the long-term development. And the final part, something that we are, I would say, more and more about, but I would say we as a company, as an industry, as agriculture in general, I think we've neglected it a little bit in the past, maybe because we were so convinced that what we are doing is just so right and it's so important for society, and society just needs to get it that what we're doing is good. But what we see is more and more, a lot of people are not convinced that what we are doing is good. They like the food, but they complain about the way the food is actually produced. They don't like the idea of innovation per se in many parts of the world, innovation per se and certain technologies being used in the production of food. And here I think we have got an awful lot more work to do to simply explain to society, to regulators, about the importance of what we do and why we need innovation for sustainable agriculture. So I won't go into this in any detail. I know Harry covered this yesterday. It's just one example looking at the development of weed resistance here, and a link between this and research and development of a company. And you can see basically there used to be a lot of new products were developed, a lot of new AIs to deal with weed resistance. And then because of the introduction of glyphosate, basically most research and development into herbicides stopped. And now we have basically a huge lack of products and AIs available. So we're facing huge challenges. We have on the picture here the Palmer amaranth, which is, of course, is a monster of a weed. And anybody who has this in their field is really, really, really in deep, deep trouble. And, of course, a chemical product is never the only solution to a problem like this. It always has to go hand in hand with crop rotation, with rotation of AIs, with different cultivation methods. It's all about diversity. But one thing is for sure, unless we've also got innovative chemical herbicides, we are going to really suffer in the future. So this, again, is just a plaidoyer for investing more into research and development for new AIs. The way we do research and development at Bayer Crop Science, and this is also a message that we try and get out to the entire, basically to the entire world and also regulators and society, we try and have the biggest possible toolbox that we can find. And we are not married to any one particular technology. We don't classify ourselves as an agrochemical company or a seed and trait company or a biological company. What we say is we look at what's the problem. And if the problem is pest control, we say what would be the best technology to solve this problem? And it might be a chemical, it might be a trait, it might be a biological solution, it might be a combination of all of those. And this is what drives us in research and development, is basically an interdisciplinary approach to try and find the best solution to a problem without having any preconceptions about wanting to use a specific technology, because we only want to find a solution that works. And this is very, very important for us because, you know, there's in large parts of the world, there's a big discussion about, for example, GMO technology. Is it good? Is it bad? It's one tool. It's not more than one tool in a big toolbox. And if we take away tools, we simply will have more and more difficulty and more challenges to ensure that we can have sustainable intensification in agriculture. So here our plea is always to use all of the tools available and not for ideological reasons to somehow exclude some of the tools. I think you also spoke a little bit about this yesterday. This is the approach that we have, a very nice example in really out of Frankfurt in the area of herbicides, where we have a very holistic approach. And at the end of the day, what we try and do is connect what's happening in the field to what's happening in our labs, research and development. And there's a lot that goes on in between, but we need monitoring in the field. We need to know what's happening in the field, what are the problems in a field. And basically, we go through a variety of diagnostic tools and methodologies to figure out what's actually happening. We feed this information, of course, back to our research and development to try and develop new approaches to dealing with the problems. But before that as well, that takes a long time to develop new products. Usually, there's a very big educational element is necessary and awareness is necessary. So we try and link all of these dots and basically link, again, the field and the lab so we can come up with the best solutions. And again, the best solution is never just a singular product. It's always a very holistic approach that is looking at the biggest degree of diversity that we can offer, and which is always linked to some kind of additional service elements and education. So one point I've spoken a little bit about sustainability, how important this is for us as a company. And this again is just one example now for sustainability. And when we talk about sustainability, what we are talking about at the end of the day, what we're talking about here, and this is a nice example from soybeans, it's about using good agricultural practices. It's about getting certified here, but it's about looking, not only ensuring that there's good yield, that there's good profitability for the farmer, but also that there's minimal environmental impact, and also that the social conditions, the labor conditions of people employed on the farm, that these are fair. This is what we talk about when we're talking about sustainability, and in this specific case, certification, that we have a program in place. And here we're relating to very specific programs that we have run and are running in Brazil, which offer tremendous benefits at the end of the day for the grower, because the grower can use this certification to have a better chance of selling their produce to high-end retail outlets who are very interested in the traceability of the products and in the quality of the products. And we're very concerned that they don't want to have any kind of products in their value chain where they might be accused of somehow not having adhered to the highest standards. And we can guarantee this, for example, through a certification process, which again is focused on good agricultural practices. So this is just another key element when we talk about sustainability, to make it a bit more concrete. What are we actually talking about here? Concrete example, certification has multiple benefits for everybody involved in the process. The last part I'll just address here, and this was the dialogue element. So it's innovation, sustainability, and dialogue. And again, this is the one where I think we have the most, probably the biggest challenge at the moment. We talk a lot about the challenges that we face in research and development, and the lack of new AIs and the lack of resources to do all of the things that we want to do. But the reality is, we're churning out still an awful lot of new innovations, but society doesn't necessarily appreciate what we do. And society and parts of society, for example, very activist NGOs, will then pressure regulators, and regulators will then basically, if we don't do our job properly, they will reduce the amount of new technologies that are available to us. So this is really a big, big challenge. And it's not because we don't have great ideas, and it's not because the innovations aren't really fantastic. It's just we haven't done a great job in explaining how society benefits from them. And here there's a lot of environmental concerns out there. And we see this in country after country after country. Usually we're talking to the Ministry of Agriculture. But usually it's not the Ministry of Agriculture who has the concerns about what we're doing, because they can absolutely see the need for what we are doing, and they can see the need for modern agriculture. They can see the need for intensification of agriculture. It's usually the environmental ministry which has major concerns. And here we simply need to be engaged in much more dialogue explaining how our products impact our products and our services and our approaches to agriculture, how we can do this in a sustainable way so that society doesn't need to be overly concerned, so that neighbors are not attacking farmers and accusing them of ruining the environment, when actually the farmers are the guardians of the earth and they are the ones who are looking after the environment more than anybody else. So here are just some examples of formats that we have set up to engage in dialogue aimed at different target groups. And these can be journalists, these can be regulators, but these can also be young people, where we have various educational formats. It's a key element to get young people engaged and passionate about agriculture. And the last one is, of course, nowadays you couldn't go without it, the social media platform, where here as well we engage in dialogue, basically with anybody who's willing to talk about modern agriculture, and we try and get our messages across in as convincing a manner as possible and listen to the concerns and try and address the concerns that are there. So that's basically it. If I sum up there, again, our focus as a company, it's innovation. This is at the heart and soul of what we do as a company to meet the challenges that we face out there. And these challenges are tremendous. And our farmers are facing these challenges every day. Society is facing these challenges, but society is not really aware how big these challenges are. And we've got to make society more aware how big these challenges are so that we can get a higher acceptance of innovation. And at the end of the day, everything needs to be done in a sustainable way, and we simply need more dialogue. We need to be open not just to sending out our messages, but to listening to concerns and adapting our approach wherever it's warranted as well. So that's it. I hope you will join us all in the debate on the future of farming. Thank you all very, very much again for being here, and I wish you all a fantastic rest of the conference. Thank you.